Jimmy Dashew.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you, good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host, and for the next 60 minutes, we'll explore the history of rock and roll from a vinyl point of view. In a world where B-sides and album cuts predominate, along with, at times, some not-so-subtle commentary, involving everything from the blues of the 30s to today's newest releases. We've been tasked with a massive responsibility, the origins of the music we love. So let's get started. Welcome back to the homegrown Rock and Roll of Ohio series, here in the Vinyl Garage. I assure you there was more to 1974 than the Michael Stanley Band. A psych prog duo well under the national radar, and something that was a really big deal. The emergence of a new rock subgenre, punk. The prog duo was the Atlantis Philharmonic, and in their sadly short career, gained a near legendary status among the very few progressive rock fans that even knew of their existence, releasing one album for an equally obscure Chicago label, Dharma. The band's sound is best described as Emerson, Lake, and Palmer-esque, from the aforementioned self-titled LP, Death Man.
Smile at me, it made me
And that brings us to something significant. Something that, at least in a historical sense, that we as music lovers in Ohio should be proud. You may not be a fan of this rock subgenre, but know that Northeast Ohio played a large, early, influential role in the worldwide punk rock movement. Whether you like this music or not, this is a big deal. The offspring of seeds planted in the late 60s by The Stooges, MC5, and others, punk took the polished rock product and stripped it down to bare bones. Unfortunately, many times also stripping out talent and musicianship along the way, but never drive or intensity. Two things the movement thought was missing from modern rock, more like the in-your-face, your-mother-won't-like-me of early rock and roll. The band that was considered ground zero for Cleveland punk was Rocket from the Tombs. Although it only lasted 1 year and yielded no vinyl, upon its demise it begat, and here's the important part, the bands Para Ubu and the Dead Boys. Para Ubu has been described as avant-garage, with the Dead Boys as straightforward punk. Rocket from the Tombs never entered a recording studio in the 70s, or 80s, or 90s. It's a 2004 Rockets reunion that properly recorded their short catalog, released as Rocket Redux that same year. Featuring a tamer performance, they were now over 50. Here's the leadoff cut, Frustration, from the Redux album. Rocket from the Tombs, upon its demise, fractured into two camps. The avant-garde, avant-garage, art-punk Para Ubu, represented by Peter Loeffner and David Thomas. And the punk Dead Boys, represented by Cheetah Chrome, his real name Eugene O'Connor, Johnny Blitz, his real name John Medansky. The boys added Youngstown native Steve Bader, his real name Steve, as vocalist. Para Ubu's first record was 1975's 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, a Thomas composition whose lyrics relate a pilot's eye view of a bombing run over Japan. The B-side, an equally difficult to dance to song, was the even more depressing Heart of Darkness. This single was released before the Ramones and before the Sex Pistols' firsts. Everywhere you look or listen, you see or hear innovation. Still stands up well 40 years later. Here's both.
flew off early in the haze of dawn, in a metal dragon lost in time, a skimming waves of an underground sea, in some kind of dream world fantasy. On a hot circle on a canopy, 25 racing by a bright green sea, ahead the timber of an alien land, and time to give ourselves to strange hearts and in the sky, the reaching twisted claws on every side, and no place to run, no place to hide, no turning back on a suicide ride. Dr. Moreau.
seems so to end.
UBU's only record ever to chart was 1989's Waiting for Mary, from that year's Cloudland LP. Making hit records was never the point. UBU was a huge influence on thousands of bands that were and are still to come. Achieving little to no success commercially, they garnered much respect worldwide in the underground avant-garde circles. These accolades are still coming today. The Dead Boys, on the other hand, although no less influential in the punk world, are less known in the genre. Unlike Para UBU, whose light gradually over time became brighter and brighter, the Dead Boys blinded us right out of the box, but quickly burned out. Known for being excessively outrageous and violent by a genre that made that behavior their standard, they released two LPs for Sire in 1977 and 1978. After relocating to New York City, thanks in part to an invitation from the Ramones. Their first LP, Young, Loud, and Snotty, featured some recycled Rocket from the Tombs cuts, including what would become a punk staple and rock classic, Sonic Reducer. The sophomore offering, with an equally upbeat title, We've Come For Your Children, suffered not only because the second album is supposed to, but with a poor choice of producer, Felix Pappalardi, who thought he would restrain the group. There was no reason for him to be producing a punk band, and the record reflects it. I'm limited to a few cuts out of 10 that's appropriate for airplay. Would you expect anything less? but there is a good cover of The Stones' Tell Me, along with the aforementioned Sonic Reducer.
Yeah!
bands break up, the Dead Boys disintegrated, with only Stiv finding work after the split. Releasing three classic rock covers, starting with the Choir's It's Cold Outside, the Electric Prunes' Too Much to Dream, and the Moody Blues' Story in Your Eyes. All strangely decent. Was Stiv mellowing in his old age? Dare you to find this anywhere else but here in the Vinyl Garage.
Let's let your shadow fell upon my lonely room. I touched your golden hair and tasted your perfume. Your eyes were filled with love the way they used to be. Your gentle hand reached out to comfort me. I could not bend the image racing through my head. You were so real that I could feel your eagerness. And when you raised your hips for me to kiss, came the dawn. Last night.
His first solo LP, Disconnected in 1980 for Bop Records, featured a few originals, one of which was written by additional guitarist on the We've Come For Your Children LP, Jimmy Zero, real name William James Wilden, the aptly titled Evil Boy. Last project was a punk supergroup, the Lords of the New Church. The band technically was actually way too melodic and highly produced to be given a punk badge. They were closer to 80s Big Hair. If you were to only take their highest charting single, Open Your Eyes, as sample. Stiv died in Paris after being hit by a car. His ashes were spread over Jim Morrison's grave.
Video games train the kids for war. Only she can have fashion stores. Law orders done their job. Prisons filled while the rich still rob. Assassination politics. Violence rules within our nation's midst. Well, ignorance is their power too. You to know, but television cannot lie. Controlling media is most great hands. They play a politician's picture show. The acting's lousy, but the blind don't know. Things are. You taste the fear when you're all alone.
They're gonna get you when you're on your own. The silence of conspiracy, slaughter on and on to all apathy. You gotta wake up from your sleep, 'cause we can have it up 6 feet deep.
At the same time, we in the Ohio music world were making music history and in turn influencing untold numbers in the soon-to-be-a-big-deal punk universe. There was also, on the other hand, Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods. The Cincinnati band, best known for the insignificant Billy Don't Be a Hero single, would release a couple of semi-successful but equally pointless singles, attempt to reinvent themselves by signing with Capitol and a new writing production team, two name changes, and an attempt at country music before realizing this business was not for them. Although they did resurface on the nostalgia circuit in a series of shows hosted by Brady Bunch's Barry Williams. But it's the Capitol LP that's of interest here. The aforementioned writing production team was the duo responsible for the success of the glam band The Sweet. So when they were handed an empty vessel like the Haywoods, they, using past experience, produced an LP that was actually decent. An album that featured two singles, a rocked-up glammy, if there is such a word, cover of Buddy Holly's Oh Boy, and the cut we'll hear next, a Sweet cover, Teenage Rampage. Just one problem. By that time, glam had already come and gone.
Now!
there's one more band we need to cover before we say goodbye to 1975. One that is not exactly in the mainstream. A band described at times as punk, psychedelic rock, avant-garde jazz, experimental, and art rock. Originally The Mirrors, The Styrenes. Another indication, along with the Rocket from the Tombs family tree, that there was definitely something in the water in Northeast Ohio in the 70s. Although previous to their first LP in 1980, they were known as the Polystyrene Jazz Band and Styrene Money, the monikers they used for the two cuts we'll hear. For their first single as the Polystyrenes, a strangely melodic, despite the title, reminiscent of Syd Barrett and early Pink Floyd cut, Drano in Your Veins. And as Styrene Money from an EP released in 1977, I Saw You. Two cuts, despite the eccentrics, that's still better than Billy Don't Be a Hero.
Plastic bag put over your head.
Say hello to 1976 and a jazz blues rock band from the Youngstown area, I Don't Care, releasing one LP for Kama Sutra that, as far as I can tell, beget no singles. Here's I Think of You and an exceptionally well-done cover of Hendrix's Fire. The Ask Anyone LP was sadly unknown and underappreciated.
Just don't need, and that's well done, that's a vibe.
There you have it, a perfectly good hour of your life listening to me. The Vinyl Garage applauds your discerning taste. Questions, comments, undying allegiance, or complete disdain can be directed at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com or Facebook/Vinyl Garage Show. So until next time, this is Dave Nelson. As always, thanks for listening. Great.